taking your phone calls in the final hour of the Rob Carson Show. Don't go anywhere.
CBM Baltimore is Top Radio 680 AM and 99.9 FM in Harford County, Baltimore.
ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The calls are growing for Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu to bring the remaining October 7th hostages home, especially after the recovery of six hostages in a Gaza tunnel. There was a funeral today in Jerusalem for one of them, American citizen Hirsch Goldberg Polan.
Those beautiful six survived together, and those beautiful six died together. And now they will be remembered together forever.
His mother, Rachel Goldberg. Vice President Harris campaigns on this Labor Day in two battleground states, speaking at this hour to union workers in Detroit, Michigan, and later today marching with President Biden in a pro-union parade in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Former President Trump has no scheduled events today, but he'll take part in a town hall this Wednesday. A suspect is in custody, accused in a shooting on a Chicago commuter train this morning that left four people dead. This is ABC News. Dissatisfaction with the incumbent parties in Europe continues, this time in Germany.
Germany's far-right AfD is celebrating its landmark regional win, sending a shot across the bows of beleaguered Chancellor Olaf Scholz's government a year ahead of national elections. The anti-immigration party topped the polls for the first time ever in the former East German state of Thuringia with around 33% of the vote and a close second finish in neighboring Saxony. Scholz's party recorded terrible results in the single digits. Tom Rivers, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
Other parties are unlikely to join the far-right party in a coalition, but the win makes it harder for others to form a government. A recent underwater expedition now allowing us to see images of the Titanic. The images reveal that after 112 years, the ship's iconic bow has fallen off. It was still attached when it was last photographed in 2022. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams September holiday sale and get 30% off paints and stains from August 30th through September 9th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop. Swiffer Power Mop.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Democratic Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz will spend his Labor Day campaigning in Milwaukee today. The Minnesota governor is expected to echo remarks from his address to the International Association of Firefighters Convention in Boston last week.
President Harris will sign the PRO Act, making it easier for unions to organize. We'll protect Safer Grant Program. It's good to see you say this. If you have to spend any time thinking if you want to support the PRO Act, that pretty much tells you where you're at, because that's a pretty easy one.
Presidential campaigns continue to focus on Wisconsin this week, with President Joe Biden visiting southwest Wisconsin on Thursday, and former President Donald Trump returning to the state Saturday afternoon for a rally at Central Wisconsin Airport in Moosonee. A 21-year-old woman was shot and killed at an apartment in downtown Whitewater late Friday night. Police say officers found the victim, identified as Kara Welsh of Plainfield, Illinois, dead with multiple gunshot wounds. Police say Welsh and a 23-year-old man got into a fight prior to the shooting. The man was arrested and he's being held at the Walworth County Jail as an investigation into the death continues. A homicide investigation in Eau Claire. During a welfare check at a home there Thursday night, police officers found the body of 56-year-old Michelle L. Jenkins with multiple gunshot wounds. No suspects have been identified. The Wisconsin Public Service Foundation has awarded $100,000 in grant funding to help first responders across the state. Cronenwetter Police Chief Terry McHugh says they'll be using the $2,000 they receive for new AED parts and CPR kits.
On something like an AED, where lives are at stake, we can't take that chance, and so that's why we want to be proactive and get these batteries replaced.
McHugh says the grant allows them to get upgraded equipment without extra strain on the village budget. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true. We take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Mostly sunny today. We're headed to 74 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at only around 5 or so miles per hour. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 50. Tomorrow sunshine 77. On Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high of 81. If you need help with back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. They can help with all of your IRS problems. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 70.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Scheduled this week, that means we will get an update on what is happening in the used machinery market. And since it's Labor Day, let's listen in on a conversation about labor.
From Labor Day via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a chat with Machinery Pete. That's Greg Peterson. Then we've got Andrew McCray from Farming the Countryside. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
All right, welcome to AgriTalk. I hope everyone is having a wonderful Labor Day weekend. Thanks for taking a little bit of time to listen in on our conversations here on AgriTalk. Davis.
Yeah.
This is it, man. It's the last weekend of summer.
Well, the last unofficial weekend of unofficial summer, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? You know what that also means?
August is over.
Come on. We talked about it a little bit on Friday on the free for all. Now we can really get focused on the playoff race.
Baseball things, yes.
Baseball things.
That's what I was going to say.
We got that happening. Plus, it's like hunting season.
So it's already started
for the Flory family. Okay, I mean we've been out there. We're hitting it hard.
We flipped the switch here at the Michelson household as well, a little differently. We just lit up a whole bunch of pumpkin spice candles, and it's like a candle shop in here now. It's wonderful.
Wow, I'm ready. That is something that I would not do. No.
Yeah. No, I'm just soaking in it now.
I'd stay clear of that.
You should smell me right now. I smell like pumpkin spice. No, you should.
No, I'm not interested in that. That's not on my list. That's not on my list of things to do on this Labor Day. Oh, holy smokes. Okay, buddy, let's get to it. What do you got in the news?
Well, as usual, I've sort of taken some stories from last week because, as we know, nothing happened over the weekend, of course. from last week's news, over 9,000 railway workers from Canadian National Railway and Canadian Pacific Kansas City Railway returned back to work Monday. That's a week ago today, following a Canada Industrial Relations Board decision. The Teamsters Union plans to appeal that decision, citing concerns over the precedent it sets for future labor disputes. However, there's still uncertainty around the labor negotiations for dock workers and their employers at East and Gulf Coast ports here in the United States. Chip, I bring this one up. A rail strike in Canada would be a huge deal. They went back to work last week.
Yep.
But I don't know. I've talked to a couple of people who don't trust it. There could be more strikes ahead. I don't know.
I'm getting the same thing. I'm getting the same thing, Davis. A lot of people are very concerned that this labor issue is not settled. And the bottom line is, it is not settled. That means that anything can happen going forward. Now, we had a conversation with Mike Steenhoek, executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition last week. If you want to know, if you want to know what the risks are from the Canadian rail situation and the longshoremen's negotiations here in the U.S., give that a listen. It's worth going back and listening to that so that you've got a real good understanding of what the risks are.
Yep. Well, in other news, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the time has come to cut its key policy rate, affirming expectations that officials will begin lowering borrowing costs at the September 17-18 monetary policy meeting. We've been waiting for the rate shift here, maybe in September.
Yeah, quarter point cut, I think, is anticipated by most, if not all, in market watchers at this point. There are some that think that we will get a half point cut, and there's even those that are thinking there's an outside chance of a three-quarter point cut in interest rates. Three-quarter point cut in interest rates would indicate that the Fed is starting to panic a little bit.
That
they've done too much to slow down the economy. A 50% or a 50 basis point cut, I think the market would absorb that fairly easily. A quarter point cut at this point, Davis, might be a little too slow for many in the market's liking. Okay? That maybe the Fed needs to be a little bit more aggressive than a quarter point.
Interesting. Well, the average interest rate for 30-year fixed-rate mortgages fell to 6.44% for the week ending August 23rd. That's the lowest since April 2023. And, Chip, we are starting to see some of these homes moving off the market. Buyers do seem to be a little bit more interested in the 6.44% than they have been in a while.
Yeah, it's funny the impact of the interest rate outlook, what it can have on buyers' perceptions out there, because some of the conversation about the housing market is that the buyers that have the wherewithal to buy the house that they want are moving now before there's more competition when interest rates get lower.
It's an interesting strategy. Here's this one. The Clean Fuels Alliance America has called on Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen to issue guidance on the 45Z clean fuel tax credit, including safe harbor provisions, by September 1st. The biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel industries are experiencing difficulties securing contracts and capital. That's due to the lack of clarity on the credit, which is set to take effect on January 1. Chip, here we got more with the 45Z. Imagine, you know, with biofuels asking for a little bit of clarity from lawmakers.
Well, here's another one that you can listen to and go back in time, and that was a conversation between Donnell Rehagen and a guy, gosh, who was it? Oh, yeah, Davis Michelson. Great conversation. When you and Donnell were done with that conversation, I think people had a better understanding of how all the dots are connected between policy and what is happening on the ground in the crushing industry. So I thought it was a great conversation.
Absolutely. And finally here, while we've still got a little bit of time, we talked an awful lot about the Harris-Waltz interview on CNN on Friday on the free-for-all. Donald Trump last week announced on Truth Social that he and Kamala Harris have agreed to follow the same debate rules he used with President Biden, which included no live audience and muted microphones when not speaking. Now, this is an interesting idea here, Chip, because it feels like President Trump did really well in that debate and wasn't able to interject and sort of, you know, conduct himself as he has in debates past.
If I was on the Trump debate team leading into this one, I know exactly what I would tell him. You take 30 seconds. You take a minute in your two-minute response time. You take a minute and explain what the Trump policy or platform is on all of those policies, and then spend the next minute asking Vice President Harris about her positions and try to get some answers, because we didn't get them in the CNN interview.
No, we did not.
And just the simple fact that it's Labor Day and we're still wondering what the platform is for the candidate at the top of the Democratic ticket, it leaves me wondering exactly how fast we're going to figure it out. Davis, good stuff, buddy. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your Labor Day.
Yeah, you too, buddy boy.
All right, and thank you for tuning in. Hey, we got Machinery Pete coming up, and at the bottom of the hour, we're going to listen in to Andrew McCray here on AgriTalk.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF Genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Citavo soybean seed, distributed exclusively by BASF.
Spring floods, fall floods,
there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared?
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Machinery Pete here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to dakotashine.com or call 888-996-7801.
Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping.
Welcome back to AgriTalk on this Labor Day 2024. I hope you all are enjoying the weekend, and thanks. Thanks for tuning in for the conversation with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Hey, Greg, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well. Happy Labor Day to you and all the listeners out there, Chip.
Fantastic. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Fruits of the labor. Sometimes it turns into an equipment purchase for the guys out there, and plus you got to have it if you're going to get the job done. So let's talk a little bit about what your pick of the week. Let's jump right into that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I know when I dropped in on your guys' crop tour finale here in Rochester, just popped up there and we're doing a little chit chat, and I think I surprised people t- Tyne asked me, how much are prices tanking? Are they dropping as much as they did 10 years ago? And I mean, we're starting to get close with large late model stuff, but up to present, not quite. And one interesting thing, I think, Chip, is that the demand for good condition pre-def items is really hasn't slowed much at all. So pick of the week, let's go out to Wayne, Nebraska last Monday, a farm retirement auction by Creamer Auction Company. They had a Case IH MX245, which I think they were like made 2006 to 10 or 11, something like that. So pre-def. Yeah. Super nice, 1,501 hours, but I mean, it went for $142K, and that's $26,000 over any auction price I've ever seen on an MX245. Now, again, it's low hours. You're buying horsepower, but that record of 116 had stood since December of 13. So, again, it's super nice, but that same auction had another pre-def tractor, a 95 model Case IH 7220. Front wheel assist, 2,844 hours again, so about 30 years old, super low. It's a one owner, and that brought 79.5. Now that's the second highest auction price in 8.5 years, the fourth highest ever. And of course, the price of new horsepower is what it is. So, you know, it's kind of all relative. You know, you can wrench on these pre-def units, and it's hard to find with low hours. So when they show up, this is what's happening still. Yep. Even on combines, that same sale had a 2011 Case IH 6130 combine. Now, that has two things going for it. It's pre-def and it's smaller capacity, which they're harder to find. And we've talked a lot about how used values hold much better on smaller used combines. Yep. This one was super sharp again, only 1,323 engine hours, one for 171. And get here again, I mean, that's the third highest in 10 years. So buyer demand is still out there. So if you want to call it old money, if you want to call it just people buying cheaper horsepower, liking the older ones, it's just, it's interesting given our realities right now in the ag economy where dollars are tight. So,
yeah. Yep. Well, and in this conversation, we got to go back on something that you have said nearly a million times on this show. Mm-hmm. Plus, what's it cost to get it new?
Right.
And when you look at these prices that are being paid on good quality, well cared for older equipment, it may be a record price, but what are you going to have to pay for something similar that's new?
Right. It's relative. And somebody actually chimed in on our Facebook post about, actually, I think it was the next tractor. So same vein here, the pre-def buyer demand. So 3 days before the Wayne, Nebraska auction, a week ago, Friday, August 23rd, my good friends at the Wendt Group out in Ohio had a farm retirement auction. I think it was a retirement auction in Grove City, Ohio. Okay. And this one had a green tractor, a John Deere 7930, which again, I think Deere made like 07 to 11, so pre-def. Again, a very low hour. It only had 900 hours, but it brought $190,000, and that's the second highest auction price ever on a 7930. Interestingly, the only higher one was a year and a half ago, March 24th of 23 in Sioux Center, Iowa. I blogged about that one. That was by my friends at Zomer Company Realty and Auction. Now that 7930, I think that was a Gold Key tractor, but that was a 10 model. Only had 467 hours and went for 191. So that was March of 23.
Wow.
Tractor values really hadn't, you know, they were still pushing towards the top. And now we're pretty far along into end of summer of 24 and another 7930, nice one, but double the hours and it brings 190. So again, the pre-def buyer demand is not really backing off.
No. No, it certainly isn't. And we've talked fairly recently about it, it's not just pre-def, is because the 10-year-old tractor that came on that came on with all the emissions controls, there's still value in those machines too, right?
Yeah, the big depreciation point is in that 4 to 7 year old range. I've talked right. about it a lot over the years, but then you get out to 10 years old. And so at this point, yeah, it's a 14 mile. It's not pre-def, but just like you said, Chip, if it's good condition, well cared for, it's still so attractive versus the cost of a newer one
yep.
that that same trend is holding. And I got one more pre-def, a little older pre-def for you.
Okay.
From last Thursday, our good friends at the Steffes Group. Kind of an unusual deal. This was an online auction with one item. It was just said the Tanner Lawton online collector auction. And he had a Tanner, was out of Jefferson, Iowa.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people saw this tractor. It was an 84 model John Deere 4650 mechanical front. It's only showing 1,537 hours. I think it had been refurbed a while ago. It just looked yeah. just beautiful. A lot of interest what it would bring. It went for $58,500, and that came in as the fifth highest auction price ever. I've seen over 1,000 John Deere 4650 sold at auction over my 34 years, and that's the fifth highest, not too far from the record. Record is only 60,500, so Tanner's 4650 had a lot of folks wanting to own it there.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. So, hey, real quick, just talk to me about some of the trends that you're seeing on combines. You mentioned the lower capacity pre-def
yep.
combine that sold out in Nebraska. What about the big capacity units
yeah.
in the auction market?
Well, let's go last Thursday, online dealer auction for our good friends at Midwest Machinery in my area, Minnesota, Wisconsin. They had a pair of 21 model John Deere X9 1100s.
Oh.
Either side of 1100 engine hours, 1096 and 1108. And they went for $380,000 and $376,000. Now, when we take John Deere X9 1100s so far this year, the average auction price now is $471,000. Current average dealer ad price is about $710,000.
Okay.
So then my machine repeat ratio, average auction to average dealer price, is 66.4%. So that is falling, but it's not down to what it was a decade ago in 14 and 15, the last big drop.
Okay.
And that's what I was getting at on stage at the
yep.
at the Crop Tour final.
Right.
So, yeah, late model, high capacity combines are softening up, no question.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What do you got coming up? What are you looking at this week?
Oh, lots of auctions this week. Too many to mention, but no, it's just the variety of stuff. We get some antique auctions. We got late model, a lot of dealer stuff still hitting the market. So, yeah, good variety. There is a sale I'm watching in Iowa. It's actually, I don't have the numbers from it. It was last Friday. I'm hoping to get that. It was a super nice farm auction. So, yeah, lots of nice stuff being sold. We'll just try to keep everyone up to snuff on what she's bringing and if the price trends are up or down.
Right, right. That's what we do all the time, right?
So pushing 35 years.
That's right. That's right. So here we are. We're getting into the fall of the year. We've got the harvest season that might yep. slow things down a little bit, but we should be expecting the same thing in the last quarter of the year that we always see in the last quarter of the year, right? With some turnover and inventory and so on.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's unbelievable. It's like 24 of the last 25 years, auction prices have gone up in November and December. This yeah. year will really be interesting because the dollars are tight. But, I mean, down in farmer DNA bone level is, you know, address your equipment needs end of the year to minimize, you know, tax bite. Now, the tax bite would be smaller this year, but that force is just so ingrained. So I'll be really interested to see. And the other thing I'm watching, Chip, dealers have taken so much stuff out here the last, yep. you know, basically 12 months that there might be a little breath here over harvest, but I think they're going to want to continue to be aggressive year end because they know pricing tends to be stronger. So I'll be watching that. And then, of course, just if there's a bunch of that stuff, how do the prices hold up? Are they falling or are they hanging in there?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Dealer management of the inventory that they've got, yep. they've been pretty aggressive on making sure that they don't get overburdened with an inventory. So good stuff. Greg, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great, Chip. Have a great week.
You bet. Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, here on AgriTalk. We're going to bring in Andrew McCray to take you home here on Labor Day weekend 2024 on AgriTalk.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
And the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Having someone you can trust with your everything is everything. At Chippewa Valley Energy, keeping you warm, keeping you cool, keeping you safe is what they do. Since 1922, when the Eau Claire Cooperative Oil Company was founded, it was to service farmers, homeowners, and businesses with necessary energy solutions. Since then, they've grown, but still offer the same great local service that they did over 100 years ago. Become and stay one of their partners with necessary energy and reliable service for your generations, your farm, your business, your family. Chippewa Valley Energy, no more. Go to ChippewaValleyEnergy.com.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
November 21st, 2021. The Waukesha Christmas Parade attack. A holiday celebration turned deadly. Daryl Brooks drove his SUV into the Waukesha crowd, targeting as many people as possible. Brooks injured dozens and killed 6, including an 8-year-old child. It never should have happened. Just days earlier, Brooks was arrested for trying to run over his girlfriend, but he was released on just $1,000 bail. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted against increased funding for pretrial detention of violent criminals like Daryl Brooks, making it easier for these criminals to terrorize our communities. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-3919, the Keep Violent Criminals Off Our Streets Act. Because violent criminals belong behind bars. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
We hear plenty about immigration these days, and both political parties have wrestled with one another over these issues for quite some time. I think a lot of us wonder if there's any good solution. My guest this week is Rachel Beardsley, and while she won't provide you one magical answer, she will help us see the bigger picture of immigration and its impact on farming and the ag industry. Rachel Beardsley joins me. She's a partner there at a law firm, and they handle lots of different issues, but Rachel, let me begin by letting you describe your background, because maybe New York today, but you've got some ag roots, correct?
That's right, Andrew, and thanks so much for having me. Again, my name is Rachel Beardsley. I'm a partner with Fragaman, which is the world's largest and leading immigration services provider. Originally, I'm from Iowa, so I grew up in Denison and I went to Iowa State University. We have a farm that's been in our family for almost 100 years. So focusing on the agricultural sector from an immigration perspective has really come quite naturally to me.
You grew up in Denison. I mean, a lot of folks listening to this know where Denison is, very much an ag-based town. Were you interested in these issues when you were growing up? How did you end up in this field that you are in today?
Yeah, so it's something that I have been interested in. You know, as you may know, Denison has several meatpacking plants. And so as I was growing up, certainly there was an influx of immigrants into our community that really helped to invigorate and help the community thrive. My mom was a high school Spanish teacher, and she actually started English as a second language classes that she volunteered and taught those. So I also volunteered with her for those classes. So got to know some of the new members of the community.
Neat. Well, I wondered if that might have been some of the background, because I knew the Denison has certainly the meatpacking background there as well. So let's jump into some of these issues. And I know that folks listening to us, it can be all across the board. In some cases, just we are in agriculture and a related field, and we just have an interest in this. But we hear so much in the news about the southern border and immigration and so forth. Kind of give me a broad scale of where we stand as far as immigration, some of the trends, the ag issues. And I know you could go a lot of different places with that, but I think so many of us are just bombarded with information and we don't really understand the full scale.
Sure. And for our practice in immigration, we focus on employment-based immigration. So these are lawful applications. These are individuals entering the United States lawfully. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's really a tool for employers. What we see with trends in the agricultural sector is that, you know, of course, ag employers are recruiting locally to fill open positions. But, you know, what we're hearing from clients is that many times there are more positions open than there are domestic workers to fill those roles. And that's where employers turn to immigration as just an additional talent acquisition tool. We also see, you know, with the increased level of sophistication of agricultural roles, that actually dovetails well with immigration, because, you know, certainly there are visas that are for skilled labor, for seasonal labor, but there are also positions for individuals and for roles that require a university level degree. And so we actually see more and more ag companies using those professional level roles, just given the advancements in technology in the sector.
I'm curious, because we have such a national debate over everything taking place in immigration, has that impacted then legal immigration and companies' ability to get the employees that they need? How has that impacted everything else?
Yes. So certainly we have seen an impact. Congress can take action on immigration, but it's been several years since there's been any comprehensive immigration reform. So as a result, any changes that we're seeing are coming from the White House, and those can take the form of executive orders or policy memos or even instructions to immigration officers.
We'll get into the impacts of election coming up here in a moment, whichever way that things may go, because you mentioned the executive branch there. But to give us a little background, I think a lot of us can get lost in the types of visas and the types of ways that people can come here and begin to work. Walk me through some of that. What types of visas and so forth are we talking about?
Sure. So there are some categories that are used quite commonly in the agricultural sector. One of the most popular visa categories is the TN visa. So this is for Canadian and Mexican nationals in certain occupations. So this was formed originally under NAFTA. And the good news about the TN visa is that there are many science-based roles. So animal breeders, animal scientists, dairy scientists, agronomists. So there are a lot of different agricultural roles that are covered by the TN visa. It's also a very quick application process. So Canadians can apply at the border, Mexican nationals apply at the consulate. So it's really a fast-track way to bring workers into the United States. Another common visa we see is the H-2A. So this is a seasonal agricultural visa. So this is to bring in workers to help during a peak load need. So for example, during harvest time, bringing in additional workers to help with the harvest or with, you know, other tasks that are outside of the ordinary course of business for the farm or the agricultural company.
talk about the H2A there for a moment, because we've had guests on this show before that is one of the main ways that they get some of those workers. How long can those workers then stay on an H2A visa? I know that in some cases they try to get those workers back again and again, but they have to go back for a while and so forth. So walk me through how that works.
Sure. So for the H2A, the person can come for up to a year, but you're right that the normal process is that the person comes for the season and then they depart the U.S. And you're spot on that many times what we see is individuals, you know, the same individuals returning to the same farm to help with the harvest year after year. There are some requirements or pretty stringent requirements with the H2A. So, for example, the employer needs to provide housing. They need to provide food for the workers. And so there are a fair number of restrictions with that. But, you know, certainly we do see this as really a lifeline for some agricultural employers, just because they need that supplemental workforce beyond their normal operations.
Can an average, and we'll put that quote, an average farmer out there navigate that process, or do they need somebody like yourself or to navigate through that? How difficult is that? Because I hear that in farm communities all the time, and we have a lot of H2A workers, or some at least around us. But how do you begin that process if I'm interested in it?
So, yes, we do see many employers, you know, working with legal counsel to navigate the process. It starts with the Department of Labor. There's a job order, and then there's the immigration service piece, and then finally the visa piece that's governed by the State Department. So various agencies that are involved there. And so again, just, you know, navigating those different government agencies, usually we do see employers prefer to have counsel really help them navigate the process and walk them through step by step.
I'm sure this may be difficult to answer, so you may not have an answer, but is that a costly process? Is it something that most farmers would say, okay, that's too difficult, and I'll just try to piece things together with whatever I can, you know, folks I can find locally? What is my threshold, I guess, for being able to begin to do that?
You know, the thing about the H2A visa is that it can scale, where an employer can say, I need X number of workers, and then it's a scaled process. So rather than, you know, filing 50 separate applications, you could file one application for 50 workers if that need is the same. And so I think that's really where the cost savings can come in, is where there are more workers associated with the opportunity.
Do you find that there are enough H2A workers out there right now? Can we get enough in the country to meet the demand? Because again, one of the things we experience out in farm country is having enough people to run the machinery and take care of things and planting and harvest and so forth.
So the recruitment piece is actually separate from the immigration piece. But what we hear from our immigration clients is, you know, many times they are working with various recruiters to locate workers who are interested. So, you know, certainly we see high volumes from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, South Africa, for example. So there are certain countries that do seem to have higher numbers of H2A visa applicants.
Is there any certain thing that those other countries do to make it easier then for H2A workers to come to this country? Is it dependent upon other countries as much as it is the U.S., or what do you see there?
You know, honestly, it's a lot about relationships. So certainly there are recruiters who help employers find international workers, but also what we hear is, you know, it's a lot of word of mouth of, you know, someone has a good experience with a particular employer in the United States, and he or she says to that employer, oh, I have friends or I have family members who would be great for this as well. So I think it's some of that grassroots networking that maybe results in some countries having more migration under the H2A than others.
That's something I wanted to ask about, is strategies. If I am looking for H2A workers, is what we're talking about right now, is there any strategy that, you know, folks in agriculture should be thinking about to make that process easier? Because I guess you want to make your place a place people would want to come and work, correct?
Right. And, you know, from the government's perspective, the biggest area of focus we see when the government is reviewing these applications is showing that it is a peak load need. So they want to see that this is not someone who's coming in just to replace someone that you lost, a worker that you lost, but rather this is a peak load need time, and the employer needs workers above and beyond what's needed for the typical operations. And so we have seen the Department of Labor come back and ask, okay, show us your production numbers, show us your revenue to establish that the production, you know, that need at the time of the year is greater in a particular time versus another time. Honestly, I think in some ways that can be easier to show in crop production because, of course, there's a harvest time. It can be more challenging with animal production because, with animals, there's a year round. So it can be a harder lift to show, okay, we have a peak load need for animal production during this time of year.
Hey, thank you so much, Andrew. Now, we're right in the middle of the conversation with Rachel. We're going to continue that conversation when we come back here on this Labor Day edition of AgriTalk.
Retirement can...
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not a rate based on Terry who keeps and makes the car behind them.
Oh no, they're about to...
Save with DriveWise and the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm at the movies, asking people if they'll switch seats with me for $574.
Here, take mine.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
Man, too much work.
Not if you call them. They handle the switching.
Now, that's a plot twist.
Shh. Check Allstate first, and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Citavo soybean seed. Distributed exclusively by BASF.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do the...
these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
I'm a hard-working man. I wear a steel hard hat. I can ride.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Andrew McCray is in the middle of a conversation. Let's get back to that right now.
One thing that we've not discussed yet is the green card process. And for those of us that don't understand a lot about all these different titles and so forth, what is the green card process and how would that impact some of the workers that would be in agriculture and in farming?
The green card process is for permanent residents in the United States. So there are a few different paths to the green card. A family-based application can be one path if someone marries a U.S. citizen. Also, there are options for an employer to sponsor someone for the green card. What we see in practice is that agricultural employers use temporary visas quite frequently, but we see them be more judicious in terms of using the green card application. Usually where they're leveraging that option is for a top performer to reward a top performer. Or if an international worker is in a senior position, you may have a situation of key man risk or key person risk, where it would be a business interruption if that person couldn't renew his or her visa. So that's another situation where we see an employer leverage the green card process. In terms of what that process looks like, there are two main employment-based options. The first of which is called the PERM process or labor certification process. So under that process, the employer must recruit for the position, so post advertisements, and review any applicants to determine whether any of those applicants are minimally qualified. Fundamentally, the Department of Labor is trying to protect U.S. workers with this process. So they want to make sure that there's not a minimally qualified U.S. worker who's willing and able to fill the role before it's offered on a permanent basis to an international worker. So that's a very common employment-based green card process. There's also something called the national interest waiver. So this is another path to the green card. This is where the industry itself is of substantial merit and importance to the United States. The person is well positioned to advance that area of endeavor. And on balance, it would benefit the U.S. To waive the labor certification process. So it all sounds very lofty. I appreciate that. But under the Biden administration, the administration has really been prioritizing STEM roles, so science, technology, engineering, and mathematics roles. And they have provided guidance to immigration officers to say, you know, these are the guidelines under which we would like you to review these applications and really prioritize STEM roles. So we've actually had a lot of success in filing national interest waiver applications for agricultural positions.
You mentioned the administration there, so let's get over to the time we have left to something I'm sure people are interested in, which is, okay, we have an election coming up, but what might change based on this election?
Sure. And, you know, it's interesting. I think either way, we are very well prepared for whatever administration is to come. The Trump administration had actually phased out the deference policy. And so what that meant is at the extension stage, there were many more requests for evidence or audits. So big picture, under the prior Trump administration, there were more delays in the adjudication of cases and more requests for additional information. Under the prior Trump administration, and certainly, you know, if there is a second Trump administration, what we would expect there is really a focus on workplace raids, on detention, potentially mass deportations.
You know, no matter how the election turns out in November, you mentioned that most action has been on the executive branch right now. Once we get past that hurdle, would you expect then the legislative branch to finally jump back in and say, okay, we've got this election behind us, and so now we're going to do what perhaps we should have done a long time ago? Or is that just a total crystal ball question? We have no idea whatsoever.
It's a great question. I think it will ultimately depend on the makeup of Congress. I think if there's consensus between the Senate and the House, then yes, maybe they would be able to make some type of legislative action or take legislative steps. I think one of the other challenges with immigration is that there are so many different areas of immigration. So as you mentioned earlier, of course, there are the issues at the border. There are family-based applications. There are, university students, international university students, and there are professional workers. And I would say the needs of all of those groups, really the benefits to the United States, are very different. But I think when Congress has tried to address immigration in the past, they try to fix all of the problems in very disparate areas rather than just choosing one. So rather than just only focusing on employment-based immigration, for example, they try to fix everything. And so I think that's why it's been so challenging for Congress to reach a consensus.
Rachel, we've got a minute or so left here. What other things have we not covered, or things that you would want folks in agriculture just to know about this process, whether it's specifically or broadly, because there are so many different areas that we could discuss?
I think one of the interesting things about immigration is really partnering with employers to look at their entire employee population and what their needs are from an employment perspective. So, what roles are they having trouble filling with domestic workers? And looking at it more from a programmatic perspective. And honestly, I think that's one of the most interesting parts of, looking at it from a really high level and saying, these are the solutions, these are the options that may be available to you. So, certainly there is the granular level of, okay, I have this one person in this one role, that I think looking at it from a more programmatic perspective can really help employers to develop a strategy and that really helps them meet their talent acquisition and talent retention needs.
Well, thank you again for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me this week. Remember, if you've not done so, you can follow Farm in the Countryside and our daily show, American Countryside, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just type in Farm in the Countryside or American Countryside to locate those pages. I'm Andrew McCray. I'll catch you next time on Farm in the Countryside.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that so much. Andrew McCray, Farming the Countryside. Thanks for listening today. Come back this afternoon, 206 Central, Marketing 101 with me and Davis, right here on AgriTalk.
Hello, America.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates.
Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Great job. Next up for our fifth grade class recital, we have Samantha.
10 times better performance can make a big difference. Castrol EDGE motor oil gives your engine 10 times better high stress